Today's gospel is a little bit of a doozy, huh? Fire and division and family against family. And honestly, it deserves a lot of attention because this is a very complicated verse, hard to understand. And it would take more than 10 minutes to unpack, so let's not go there. We have a barbecue to get to today, right? So let's go back to the epistle today, to the Hebrews, because it's perfect for this day before the first day of school, right? And I'll tell you why, because it reminds me of aspects of my own life, and maybe aspects of yours too. As I watch my 6'1" baby get ready for his... I could feel the eye roll. I could feel it. Eyes in the back of my head. You know that, moms, right? But as I help him get ready for his senior year in high school, which starts tomorrow, and some of us in this room send our kids back to school, our little ones and our big ones, I can't help but remember my first day of first grade. Do you guys remember your first day of school? I remember it like the Kodachrome moment that it was. It's a faded picture in my parents' photo album. I'm standing on the hearth like it's a little stage, which is so me, right? And I have a little gingham dress on, and I have my bed knobs and broomsticks lunchbox that dates me. Those that laugh know, right? My hair is in perfect ponytails, and it's tied with that big, thick yarn. You remember that from the 70s? And I'm full of hope and wonder. I remember the excitement and the anxiety about traveling an uncharted path, but it was augmented with my grandmother's colorful tales of her school experience. The one-room schoolhouse, the pranks on the teacher, the bully, the hero. And then I remember another milestone before I entered high school in ninth grade. I remember my older brother trying to teach me about high school through his stories. The teachers to avoid, the kids that stuck up for others, to avoid the Mexican pizza at all costs. And of Jim, who ate the live cricket in study hall. Stacy, who made straight A's by guessing on every test. I could go on and on. And the stories of my high school experience were passed down to the next class. Get Miss Van Hooser for English, she's great. And the water fountain in the library hall will shoot straight up your nose, so please be careful. And that's how we remember history. We remember the stories and the legends, and we pass them along. And so it is with our passage from Hebrews today. The writer has whipped out the yearbook of faith and is showing the Hebrew community the MVPs and the most likely to be eaten by lions of believers of ages past. The objective? To teach a fledgling Christian community what has come before them. To encourage the small band of believers in the early church and let them know that they aren't alone in their faith, but that they are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses from the past. The stories culminate in the example of Jesus as a human and a savior. As the letter's audience is encouraged to lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, it is also inspired to run with perseverance the race that is set before us by Jesus, who is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, because he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and sits at the right hand of the throne of God. The examples of the cloud of witnesses allows our modern community to add our story to that of the community of the Hebrews and the faithful of history, while ever connecting us to the story of Jesus. We who seek to follow by faith need not worry about shame or persecution as we embark on a life of discipleship or continue our life of discipleship. Having faith, however, doesn't automatically ensure that all our victories are won, but it does tie us to a history of those that have persevered. I think it's quite appropriate that the author of Hebrews compares our faith journey to a race. In today's world, we're all about winning, right? But our story today sets out a realistic interpretation of faith, as it's not a one-moment kind of journey, but it's one that covers a whole lot of ground. The cloud of witnesses, then, are those that inspire us to do more and hang in there. I imagine a race that's miles and miles wide, not just one single line of runners. I imagine all of us running with Jesus as he scouts ahead of us. I imagine the slower ones, like me, not being left behind, but being pulled up with the fastest. I imagine a race that is not complete until we all cross the finish line. A race where wind whips back our hair and crowds yell out our names and endorphins rush and camaraderie abounds. For this reality, we must not live in our own time alone, but seek answers from the past and rely on assistance and knowledge and strength from the faithful that have come before us and from Jesus, the perfecter of our faith. Today, and every day really, we stand in that liminal space between our years of experience and the possibilities that lay ahead. And as many of us embark on a new academic year of learning, knowledge, friendships, may we be guided by those who have come before us as examples of strength and courage. May all of us, whether we're in school or not, stand on the shoulders of the many faithful of history as we look at the sunrise of a new day. We are not running this faith race alone. We are supported and encouraged and cheered on by the communion of saints. It's not about being first, it's about hanging in there, playing fair, and uplifting others, and being merciful, and receiving mercy, offering blessing, and being blessed. So, with whatever journey we're on, may all of us join in the marathon of faith. If we're no longer in school, may we pass on our faith stories and our strength stories to those that need to hear them. And may every single one of us receive blessings from the heroes, lessons from the martyrs, inspiration from the great cloud of witnesses, and peace that passes all understanding from our Savior, Jesus Christ, who runs the race with us every step of the way. Amen.